51.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
In the final hour, we talk about the low-hanging fruit that may be discovered by earthly science in coming in contact with alien technology. I'm Gene Steinberg, the co-host Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast. So that's the point. Basically, it comes back to that again. Yes, in Brazil, in the Soviet Union, wherever, they recover evidence of alien craft, which also means maybe, you know, the aliens are using the lowest bidder in building that craft. That's why they crash. But whatever the reason is, though, we wouldn't learn very much from it. How would we get those inventions into private industry? It almost takes us back to Corso. But the basic issue being here, what would we even understand?
That is a major issue. And it's right now, there's a lot of work going on in nanotechnology, for example. And a Nobel Prize was just awarded to guys whose training was in Russia, incidentally, for graphene, a very peculiar substance, monolayer of carbon, but it's got a tremendous electrical properties, very high strength. What I'm saying is here are two totally new areas. And whether we learned about these or not from aliens, I don't think we did, but even if we had, who knows what it's going to be like in, let's say, 5 years. With an awful lot of people spending an awful lot of money and using nanoparticles to strengthen metals, getting incredible strength, incredible electrical properties. There'll be a lot more. We celebrated in 2010 was the 50th anniversary of the discovery of the laser. And it's so ubiquitous. I like to use that word once every year. People say, what's he talking about? Well, it's your supermarket counter. That's a laser that's reading those barcodes. And your CD player, that's a laser that's reading your CD. And, you know, there are all kinds of applications. It's an incredible industry within 50 years of its original discovery. And the guys who discovered the laser were not the guys who designed the units for the checkout counter. Believe me, they weren't. In other words, application and discovery are two different things, different kinds of skills. But one of the things that you got to take into account is how much money it takes to take that big leap from a nice little scientific discovery. What can we do with it? You know, and you know, if the government controlled the computer business, we'd have a choice of four different companies. They'd have one ten-thousandth of the capability of the computer I have on my desk, and it's not a very advanced one. I mean, when I hear about people buying memories with, what is it now? You go megabytes, gigabytes, terabytes, you know, hard drives with umpteen terabytes and speeds of incredible stuff. It's not just the discovery. It's the putting it to practice. Clever guys.
The common axiom is that computer is obsolete when the first one comes off the assembly line, basically.
You're probably right about that, but I'm not going to run out and buy a new one every year.
Well, here's another question from one of our Paracast Forum members. I think it goes to a question that was asked last time you were on the program. And the question was about the Gravity Probe B experiments and the results of some of these experiments and the implications for faster-than-light travel, speaking of technology. Are you up to speed on that particular?
I would comment this, that as in every other area, whether it's nanotechnology, the other end of the system, so to speak, or speed of light, we don't know all there is to know. We do know, which is sometimes forgotten by the nasty, noisy negativists, that time slows down as you get close to the speed of light. That's not a trivial effect. At 99.99% of the speed of light, you can go 37 light years in 6 months pilot time. We've had guys in space 6 months, guys and gals. I think the gals have finally caught up on that score. That's not a trivial thing. And you say, well, how do you go that fast? Well, that a large collider over in Europe, the particles are going 99.59% of the speed of light. That's awful fast. And the time change is very large. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to learn about warping space and time, you know, using white wormholes and all this kind of thing. Those are nice theoretical areas. We haven't reduced them to practice. But the fact that we haven't done it yet, we've got a lot to learn. And, you know, as I mentioned, to separate the isotopes of uranium took 5% of the electrical power of the United States at the time. There are other ways of doing it now, but they had to do it then. And so I expect we're going to be learning, but it's not going to be an easy or cheap job to scale up, to go from the little tiny thing and then say, well, how do we move a person? You want to move electrons? Go ahead. What good is that doing me if I want to move a spaceship, a family of people to settle on a new planet? I should throw one word of caution here. Very often you will hear people talking as if we need to go to other galaxies. I was interviewed on a radio program. A guy said, when I was young, I thought how nice it would be to go to Andromeda. Then I realized how much energy it would take. Tell you something, I don't care at all about Andromeda. I'm interested in Zeta Reticuli. It's 39.3 light years away. Andromeda's 2 million light years away. You know, there's a big difference. So let's talk about local.
Yeah, keep it local.
Be realistic. Yeah, well.
Yeah, it makes sense.
My daughter keeps
telling
me
that begs the question about a secret space program. You know, and the Gary McKinnon, a very interesting little piece of information with a list of off-planet officers and the like. Do you think we have a secret space program? Obviously, the military is involved heavily in space. I mean, that's a pretty, I think, easy assumption to make. But do you think that we have a very robust program that is not known to the American people here or the rest of the world?
That's a question that I have to put in my gray basket. Not enough data. I would allow for that possibility. And we're talking huge bucks that, what did Cheney say? No, Rumsfeld. We couldn't account for $2 trillion?
$2.2 trillion announced the day after or the day before 9/11.
Oh, strange how we forgot that.
Yeah, I forgot that connection. But what I'm saying is that I would allow for the possibility. I can't prove it. It doesn't exist. I think it would be an enormous secret. Wouldn't surprise me if we were doing things in secret. The other question that comes up at the same time, of course, is are we working with the aliens? Because I don't think anybody out there is going to let us get away with roaming around, spreading our brand of friendship, hostility, or everybody else calls it, without them saying, hey, buddy, you're off limits here. We don't want you.
That raises a big question, Stan, which is, do you think that any earthly government has had direct contact with them?
You know, that's a much more interesting question, or my answer would be much more positive than what might have been a number of years ago. Just to give two examples, both involving Eisenhower. That strange thing about being out in California in Palm Springs and the press couldn't find him, and they got very worried he might have had a heart attack, you know. He was playing golf. What else did he do?
He went to the dentist.
The idea was he'd gone to the dentist and he was under an anesthetic, and of course they didn't want to release that, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Bill Moore did a check on that. He checked in several different areas. One, he found the dentist's wife. The dentist was dead. She knew nothing about her husband having treated the president, which seems a little strange. You'd think that would have been his biggest customer, you know, most important one. Secondly, he checked the medical records of the president, and they keep very detailed records on that. There was no mention of dental work being done. And third, they checked the thank you notes. Everybody wants to get a thank you note signed by the president. Thanks for your hospitality during our recent visit. You know, vote for me next time around, whatever the rest of that sentence would be. And there weren't any thank you notes to the dentist either, which seems very strange. So it is conceivable that that supposed meeting at Edwards Air Force Base, which isn't far from Palm Springs, could have taken place. Art Campbell has done some tremendous work on a story about Ike being supposedly in Georgia playing golf, but the presidential plane actually wound up going to New Mexico.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into Art Campbell and that research and where Eisenhower might have gone very shortly. We have Stanton Friedman. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free Whois Guard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
Notice, Stan, how his voice gets deeper and deeper and deeper every time we do that station break. Stanton Friedman joins us, longtime UFO investigator, perhaps the dean of UFO research because he's done it for so long. We have Chris O'Brien as the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And we're exploring what Art Campbell had learned about what Eisenhower might have done. Let's talk further about the story before we look at Art Campbell and whether what he says can be believed.
The story is that he found out from a crewman, who was on the plane, the president's plane, and then from witnesses who were at Holloman Air Force Base, that Ike went out there when he was supposedly playing golf in Georgia and landed at one end of the airport, landing fields, more than an airport there, and there was a UFO at the other end, and there was a meeting between them. Now, I found that he pursues things very vigorously, Art does, came up with some very good evidence, and what I'm allowing for is the possibility. Do I have a record of those negotiations? No, I do not. For people who think that WikiLeaks releases everything, you know, I've had people tell me, well, they haven't put out any MJ-12 stuff, Stan. There must not be any. The New York Times said, and their cohorts with releasing data with WikiLeaks, of the 250,000 pages, fewer than 5% were classified, and none were classified above secret. The private, I think his name was Bradley, who released that stuff, didn't have a need to know for, and that whole network of people who had access, almost a million people, didn't have access, need to know that we were talking about earlier. There's no top secret stuff coming out of that. So governments can keep secrets. Heck, the Eisenhower Library is 250,000 pages of classified material. He's been out of office since 1961, for goodness sakes. 50 years now, I guess. And we don't have access to that. So there can be an awful lot of stuff going on, memos of meetings, et cetera, that we have never seen, probably never will see, unless somebody cleans house, and I don't expect that to happen. So I allow room for there having been negotiations, not only between Ike and aliens, but with people in the Soviet Union, maybe in China and whatever. The stakes are huge here. The implications are huge here. All governments might have been told, hey, you idiots, get your act together. Remember that Bob Hastings has pointed out that there were UFOs over nuclear installations in the Soviet Union, as well as other places. And, you know, regardless of what the reason is, you know, to protect their gold mining or whatever, they're paying attention. And I think leaders of the planet don't want a war, a big war, and don't want to make a mess out of the planet. I mean, it's one means of population control, but probably not the most effective means.
So the long and short of it is, Stan, you feel that some of the earthly governments have had direct contact with E.T. and they really know what's going on, or at least what E.T. chooses to tell them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying at all that I would expect E.T.s to fill the years of politicians on Earth with what's really going on. But I think that we need to recognize that we're part of a galactic neighborhood.
Yeah, but we go to the galactic neighborhood, and you've said this before on the show, and forgive me for the interruption, but what about a galactic dimension? What about other dimensions? What about UFOs coming from the future? What about all these other possibilities? Does it have to be E.T., from another star system, etc.?
Well, I'm not saying it has to be, and I'm not saying there aren't the other kinds, but we clearly have technological devices, big ones, motherships, space carriers, wherever you want, and little ones that run around the planet, you know. So I'm not leaving out the possibility of those other things, but I don't think they're required to explain the situation.
Also, the other question is about the reality of what we're seeing. Are we seeing what's really going on? Is it a holographic projection? Do we look at the holodeck in Star Trek and say, hey, they could project things that we could even touch, but it's not really there?
I will allow room for that technology, but we have enough cases where they show up on radar, where there have been crashes like Roswell and the plains of San Augustine. We have enough cases of real hunks of stuff, if you will, that are around, to say that while there may be other means of cloaking, like I say, how the heck do you go through a window without breaking a window? I don't know how to do that. Maybe that only seems that way to the person who's taken through the window. I don't know. I'm not saying that this is all inclusive. I'm saying we know something about the real 3D world in which we live. Not a heck of a lot compared to an advanced civilization, but a lot more than we knew 60 years ago, that's for sure. So I leave room for all that other stuff. I'm not saying only UFOs, some UFOs are alien spacecraft is what I'm saying. If you ask me, are some time travelers, I'd say, could be. Are some secret government systems? Sure.
And what about crypto-terrestrials, the theory from such people as the late Mac Tonys that there is an advanced civilization here? Maybe it came from space, but it's here now, based here now.
I found far less evidence for that. Underground, you know, why do you build a ship capable of going up, up and away if your base is under the ground? And how do you do it? Where's the technology for manufacturing metals? You can mine them underground, maybe, but it's one heck of a big facility. You know, you look at a 747, for example, and an awful lot of work went into making that metal, refining it, you know, mining it, refining it, shaping it, putting it together. That doesn't come easy. And so that there have been secret civilizations on the planet, we know that we keep finding a tribe here, a tribe there. And I'm not disputing that. But I don't think that's a major explanation for what people are observing, that are abducting Earthlings, that are flying around military planes, that are zipping around hither, thither, and yon. Those seem to be real three-dimensional extraterrestrial. Now, I'm not saying other galaxies. I want to stress that. Just down the street. Some from Zeta Reticuli, my favorite place to go. If you're going to give me a vacation trip, that's where I'd like to go.
They don't come from the Goldilocks planet, then.
No, I don't think so.
But isn't it interesting how more and more we see these developments where we learn about more and more planets that may be close to being Earth-like or at least acceptable within that M-planet range, you know, they used to talk about in Star Trek, that maybe these will house beings that can produce advanced civilizations. Maybe they're somewhat close to us, or maybe they're based on arsenic and old lace, which brings up that other theory that you've heard about recently.
Yeah, well, let me go back to something, though, about these Earth-sized planets.
I want to ask you to do that, but we do have to, basically, we have to communicate with the psychic beings who sponsor this show, because they will they'll be very upset if we don't. We have Stanton Friedman joining us. Chris O'Brien is the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Two more segments with Stanton Friedman, longtime UFO researcher. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in the Paracast. And now, you were about to tell us, Stan?
Well, there's some very recent work by Dr. Marcy and his associates, among the earliest of the other planet finders, the exoplanet guys. And they looked at a whole bunch of stars, and over 100 of them, they looked at ones that had multiple planets, not just one per star. And what they found was if you tabulate how many planets you have and what size those planets are, it appears that the smaller you get on the planets, the more there will be. And they figure about a quarter of the planets will be Earth size. We just haven't been able to see most of them because the smaller they are, the harder they are to see with our present-day equipment. And, you know, we're getting better at it. But that was a very exciting finding that, you know, there are going to be a lot of little ones, not just Jupiter-sized planets. And, you know, there are over 500 so far, and there's going to be a much greater number than that. And the guys who originally did the work, who first found the exoplanets, were ridiculed. There's no possible way you could see a planet around a star. A star is so bright. It would totally, the light from the star would totally obscure anything you could get from the planet.
Whenever science tells us, Stan, you can't do that, that often is the proof that you can if you just know the right way of doing it and you eventually you figure it out, more or less.
Yeah, that's true. And so what I'm saying is that this changes our whole picture. And what flying saucers represent the next step from going from dear old Ptolemy to Copernicus, and we finished the job that Copernicus started of taking man out of the center of the universe. We're unique. We're at the top of the heap. Remember, his book wasn't published until 1543, the year he died. So it was banned for 300 years, but they didn't burn him at the stake. That was reserved for Giordano Bruno. And so now we know we're not only not the center of the universe, and we're not the center of the galaxy, and we're not the most advanced place in our local neighborhood, unless you believe that Bishop Usher was right when he said 4004 B.C., I think it was October 23rd on a Thursday afternoon, the whole world was created. And we have to point out that he left out about six zeros there instead of 4004, it's 4 billion of But what I'm getting at is the picture that emerges of our even our local neighborhood, and we're just beginning to, wow, over 500 exoplanets. You know that 50 years ago we didn't think there were any exoplanets? We hadn't seen any, and if we can't see them, they ain't there. Right? Wrong. We got to change our telescope, so to speak. So, yeah, and this whole Goldilocks business, there's no question that the press has recognized that the public is very interested in this sort of stuff. Life out there, man not alone. You know, there's no question there's a lot of excitement about that. There's also no question that these guys are all anxious to get funds for more research. Now, I hate to imply that scientists, curses, would try to make a lot of noise about something like the arsenic business that you referred to a little bit ago, for the idea of getting more research funds. But, you know, I just did a column about that and the use of the word alien. The column hasn't been published yet, but it should be soon. Alien excites people, and the press uses it wherever they can, except they don't want to talk about flying saucers. They don't want to talk about alien beings.
They want to talk about the aliens from Mexico.
Yeah. And the aliens, the alien life forms that use arsenic. When that article came out, incidentally, in Science magazine, there were a number of people who rebelled and published negative comments about it. They thought the research was terribly flawed. This is over in Mono Lake in California, which is a peculiar place anyway. It's cut off from water supplies from other bodies, so that the level of different elements in the lake is quite different from what it is other places. And they thought the experiments were poorly done, that they hadn't established that the arsenic had been into the DNA rather than phosphate. It has very high levels of phosphate in that water, too, you see. But it got a tremendous amount of play, didn't it, from the news media?
Yeah.
It's okay to talk about that, but not about flying saucers, folks. That's science fiction.
Well, here's another question from one of our forum posters.
Sure.
This, you know, we've kind of covered this ground a little bit before, but let's assume for a second that the governments of the world, especially the U.S. and Canadian governments, for instance, are in the dark to some degree about the UFO phenomenon. And the question is, what cost-effective investigative method dealing with this phenomenon would you propose to the U.S. or Canadian governments? Would a comprehensive two-year radar tracking pilot observation survey be enough, for instance? Or do we need, like, a Blue Book 2, the 2011 edition, to do a better job? That's the question. I think we kind of covered this ground before, but let's go on the assumption that that the government is as confused as we are, if not more so, because they know more. How would you advise them to do an effective job studying this phenomenon?
Well,
where is this going in terms of the research?
The first step is easy. Let's look at the data the government already has that we don't know about. Remember General Carol Bolander, one of my favorite guys. He's the one whose memo resulted in the closure of Project Blue Book in 1969. He had no previous connection with it. He was asked. He worked on the Lunar Excursion Module program. We successfully landed on the moon. Yes, I do believe we did in July 1969. And
so it wasn't Stanley Kubrick on a set.
No. He's made many interesting photos on sets, but not this one. Anyway, Bollinger was asked then, what should we do about Project Blue Book? Because the Condon Committee had recommended that it be closed. It wasn't accomplishing anything. They weren't right about that score. And remember what he said was that reports of UFOs which could affect national security are made in accordance with, what's the name of the memo? Memo JNAP, Joint Army Navy Air Force Publication 146. Or Air Force Manual 55-11, and are not part of the Blue Book system. Two paragraphs later, he said, if we close Project Blue Book, the public won't have a place to report a sighting. However, as previously noted, reports which could affect national security will continue to be investigated using the procedures established for that purpose, the regulations.
Isn't that so nice of them?
Well, I talked to him 10 years later, more than that, probably. He's dead now, incidentally, I checked. And I said, you're saying there were two separate channels of communication? He said, yes. And so the example I use, if a saucer goes down a Strategic Air Command base where nuclear weapons are stored, that's a national security matter. If you and I are standing at the end of your driveway and there isn't any smog around and we look up and see a saucer go by, big deal. It happens all over the place. So what I'm
Yeah, but not to you. You've never seen a UFO, if I remember correctly.
That's right. You're absolutely right. I've never even seen Tokyo. I've never seen a neutron.
What's your motivation?
How do you know Tokyo exists? It's just an illusion.
Well, because most of what we know about the world is just an illusion by those standards.
Well, you know what's going to happen now is we're going to get letters from listeners in Tokyo, and we have them, who are going to say, how could you say Tokyo doesn't exist? Well, I haven't been there. Stan hasn't been there. I don't think Chris has. You know, I haven't been to Iceland either. You know, I haven't been to Madrid, Spain, but I know it exists because my son lives there, and I talk to him every few days. And I said, Grayson, where are you? I'm in Madrid. And I said, how do I know that Madrid exists? And he says, well, check the phone number. It's a Madrid exchange. And, you know, we can just continue and persist in this and talk about the things we believe in and don't believe.
Well,
I do believe, by the way, I do believe that we have Stanton Friedman with us. I'm positive of that because I dialed his phone number. And it's the same phone number he's always had. And I know that Chris O'Brien's with us as co-host because I called him on Skype, as I always do. And I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. PatriotInternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
A reminder, neighbors, we want to hear from you. Write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. We're in our final segment with Stanton Friedman. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Stan, you were about to pick up on something.
Well, yeah, that the first step to find out more is having the government release what it already has. We've had all the good systems for obtaining scientific data about flybys of advanced alien spacecraft are monitored or owned or controlled, operated by the United States government. That's in the United States. I don't mean we own what's going on elsewhere. That is the radar networks, the cameras and radar installations on board military aircraft chasing UFOs, the spy satellites, you know, the NRO and those guys. Those guys build satellites. Sometimes they cost $500 million. You know, the ones that can read the license plate in the Kremlin parking lot. I'm told we can do a lot.
We had Ron Regehr on, who was part of that effort in the optics side of that equation.
And we have impressive equipment, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah.
What I'm saying is, if you want to know more, you've got to find out the data we already have. What do you need more data for when we already have measurements, observations, analysis of wreckage, all kinds of things? Now, it would be nice if we could open that up for the whole world to find out what's going on. Again, the military implications are rather substantial. You know, this is the political ones. When people say, well, we'll hold an election to see who speaks for the planet. Sorry, China has 1.3 billion people, India a billion. The United States only has, what, 309 million. We're not going to hold an election, one person, one vote. But what I'm saying is, why do you need to dredge up more data when we already have a huge amount that we don't have access to?
I'll tell you what, we're kind of getting to the end of this here, and I wanted to get to some more questions. Anything left in the bin, Chris?
Well, other than a question about dealing with alien abductions in a manner suggested by Carla Turner, which is to pray at them and maybe they'll go away. Other than that, I think we've emptied the bin.
I think that, you know, there may be an element to that. We were talking earlier about telepathy and mind over matter and all this kind of stuff. When it really got home to me was when I was standing with Kathleen Martin, where the Hill case took place, where the craft is 100 feet over their car, and Barney's looking through binoculars at the craft and seeing the beings through the double row of windows on the craft. The important point is what he did after that was he got off the main highway onto a secondary road and then went off onto a dirt road out in the middle of nowhere. Now, there is no way in the world Barney would have done that on his own. It's totally out of character. It's irrational. It's illogical. And they wind up on this dirt road right alongside the only area there big enough for a craft to sit down in. And my feeling, just standing there, was somebody was sending him a message and controlling him and directing him. So, you know, when it comes to abductions, they obviously know how to control us. Now, maybe some of us, if 20 of us got together and aimed our mental arrows with our mental slings at the aliens, we might have some impact. Who knows? There are maybe exceptional people here who are able to really send powerful messages. I don't know.
Well, that's what Stephen Greer claims. That's what he's been doing. Coherent thought sequencing.
What can I say?
Good old Greer.
You know, well, let's be more coherent here. We are obviously in the final segment here. Kind of wrap it up here. And is there something anyone can do if we assume the governments know some of these secrets? How do we make them open up their mouths and tell us? I mean, if you go back to the 1950s, as I've mentioned a few times in the show, Major Donald Kehoe was looking for his brand of disclosure. This is in all his books, starting with Flying Saucers from Outer Space in 1950. Flying Saucer Conspiracy, I Want Disclosure, it's 2011. We haven't gotten it. Is the realization that there are possibly inhabited planets in other parts of the galaxy, other parts near star systems, etc., is that part of disclosure or just a natural occurrence of science? Where does it go?
I think it's getting us ready for that. I mean, it makes it much more. Most people now, I find, believe that there's other life out there in the galactic neighborhood, if you will, in the universe. That wasn't a very popular notion. Remember, it wasn't too many years ago that we were taught that the events that produced the planets in our solar system were so rare, a near collision between two stars, it never happened anyplace else. Now we know, oh, planets, oh, how many are one? We got 500 over here, discovering new ones every month or so. So times have changed. What I think it would take, and it would be interesting to see if anybody has guts enough to do it, would be the effort that was spent on the political Watergate, breaking that story loose by the Washington Post, spent on blowing the lid off the cosmic Watergate. There's all kinds of data there which the major media have not touched. Look at the blacked-out documents, the whited-out documents. Look at the Bolander memo. And if we could get people who already know to come forward without fear of being punished. You know, amnesty, what's that word? We don't hear that often, but I'd like to see amnesty for guys. For example, I have had 7 stories quietly told me in my travels hither and yon about planes going up to chase UFOs and never coming back. And the government wouldn't want to admit this, of course, that we've lost pilots. Goodbye. If we got the facts put out on the table a little bit, they finally did this with regard to, there's a book called By Any Means Necessary by William Burroughs, describing 166 military crewmen who were on board reconnaissance airplanes that were tickling the radars of North Korea, Russia, and China in the late 40s, mostly in the 50s. And those planes were destroyed by the Russians. We destroyed some of theirs, too, who were doing the same thing coming the other direction. None of the families were told what was going on until 2001, more than 50 years for some of those families, when they were gathered together and they were given the medals their sons, brothers, fathers had earned. There wasn't one word in the public about this. So if somebody like the Washington Post were to make the effort and having to admit that they'd ignored the biggest story of the millennium for the last 60-some years, I think it could be done in 6 months. And along the way, I mean, the world didn't fall apart when Watergate came out, did it? I don't think so.
Or Monica Lewinsky.
Well, that was later. Yeah, you know, that was worth all that effort. How many?
When Monica Lewinsky came along, we already knew that presidents sometimes stray. You know, we already have the evidence of John Kennedy, that Lyndon Johnson was a pretty wild guy, too.
Yeah.
So
my point is, the world didn't end and we all didn't fly off. I think this kind of goes back to the previous conversation about disclosure. And certainly the government has quite a bit more data, and if they'd only fess up, and if we could get the media, the Fifth Estate, to marshal their resources to get involved, then you're right. I mean, it could be as little as 6 months, especially with people coming forward, especially with some sort of amnesty put in place.
Would be an interesting subject, and maybe more on disclosure can be discussed in future episodes of the Paracast. Stan, got any books coming out, lecture tours, things we can check out?
Got all kinds of lectures coming up. Saudi Arabia, I don't think many listeners will be attending that one. $4,000 admission to the conference. But in Atlanta, the Truth Conference, on February 4th and 5th, I'll be speaking there. I'll be speaking at International UFO Congress, which has moved from Laughlin, Nevada to right next to you guys, as a matter of fact.
Right in Gene's backyard.
So we're going to have dinner that day, Stan. You're invited.
Oh, okay. And I expect a lot of people will be there. And I'll be speaking at the Oz UFO Conference in late March in Lawrence, Kansas. Don't ask me to explain that title. I don't know what it means. But I'll be in Roswell, of course. In the first week in July, I'll be at MUFON, Pennsylvania, October 22nd, I guess it is, in Burlington, Wisconsin, the last week in October at the Burlington Vortex Conference.
I think that covers it. And you can check what stantonfriedman.com to find more of what you're doing.
Yeah, and that lists all the books which you get autographed from me, and Amazon doesn't send you autographed copies of my books.
That's to their detriment, but if you order it direct from Stan also, Stan makes a few more pennies on the book. You want to do that.
You're right.
Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, I do have a website, OurStrangePlanet.com, and you can get signed autographed copies of my books there, and also keep up to speed on the San Luis Valley Camera Surveillance Project and other interesting projects that I'm involved with. And I want to say again, thank you so much, Stan, for coming on the show. This has been an enlightening 2 hours, as usual. And we look forward to having you back and talking about some of the other subjects that we weren't able to cover today.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. It's been fun.
Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.